Hey, welcome to Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. Tonight, we're talking about being played or being romanced and how the game is real. Tonight, we're going to have Michelle Grogan, who will be checking in with us a little late tonight, but Janet Hurd is here with me tonight to start things off. Hey, Janet.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing. How's everybody week been out there? I see people are starting to click in and call in. How we do this is that it makes it easier. You can either use your name or you can use your area code and the last four digits of your numbers so that we know who's speaking at the time. And I want to let you know that I'm here in Indianapolis and there's some really bad, crazy weather going on, so we may have a little issues with the system and everything because it took a minute to get in and get on and get things going today. But other than that, we're here to have a good talk and talk about some really good stuff and lay things out. So we want to talk about, we want to open up really talking about how the game is real, and we can say until we're blue in the face and our heads are white or gray that, you know, people should not play games and relationships are sacred and all of that other stuff that we say. That's true about it. But the other truth about relationships is that sometimes games are played. And sometimes some people in relationships all by themselves, thinking that they're in a relationship with somebody else. So I'm going to start off with letting Janet start off with opening us up today. And we're talking about the difference between romance and players, romantics and players, and how the game is real. And if you're going to play the game, it's best to know the rules of the games and the tricks to the trade in order to not get yourself caught up into something and get your heart broken. So, Janet, let's open up and let's get some stuff going in here today.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is Janet. I guess I'm thinking more on the lines of when you start talking about romance and you start talking about the player episode and as it relates to the relationship. I think at some point everybody has probably gone through it or experienced it, or either know someone who has. As it relates to the player, I think I was speaking before, talking about how, you know, people out, they play games. They, you know, they got con games, they got games where, you know, they might pretend like they're really, really into someone as far as dating and things like that. And, you know, and they have a ulterior motive. We may not know what that ulterior motive is because some of them are so good at what they do, and you're not the first person that they've done it to. So many people had years to perfect their craft when it came down to playing women. And then situations like that, you know, a lot of them will, you know, lure you with, you know, gifts and, you know, whatever it is that they can do, whatever it is that they think you like or something that they think you desire or whatever, you know, many times they'll listen to you. And then they build this image of who they think you desire in your life. And once they, you know, have done that, then they already set up, you know, they set themselves up to play the game, you know, because they already know a lot of things about you because you've already been put it out there, rather than allowing them to learn you as you go along and allow layers and pieces of you to, you know, come off as the relationship progresses. Some things you should keep in within yourself before even putting it out there with somebody that you're talking to or have been talking to for the first week or the first 2 weeks or whatever. And sometimes we get so excited about, you know, being in a relationship. Oh, this person is really sweet. You know, I really like the way they talk to me. I really like the way they, you know, they're so this and they're so that. Well, you know what? They already know that because they see the type of person you are. A lot of times they feed off of your energy. They know if you're the type of woman that, you know, is kind of loose. And it can also know if you're a woman, the type of woman who is not loose but very meticulous about a lot of different things. So they watch you. They pay close attention to you, and they study you, you know. And once they get what they need from you, that's when the game begins, you know. So how do we detect these things, or how can we, you know, determine is this person real or not? Is this person for real? Because, you know, a lot of times we'll say in our mind, and many of us have done it, have went so far to say, wow, this is just too good to be true. I mean, this person is just, oh, my God, I never thought that I ever would meet somebody like this or whatever. And that's not to say that it's not possible that you can meet somebody like that and it be true, but I'm saying more oftentimes than not, it's, you know, if it looks like the like a duck, usually it is a duck. And nobody is the same way, you know, all the time or whatever. You catch a person in their different modes, find out what they're like when they're angry, find out when they're sad, when they're, you know, all these different emotions. If you find out what that person out, the real them is going to come out regardless. You know, how
right.
do we know? How can we detect those things from that person? For the most part, we go with our intuitions. It really tells us. For the most part, we see things, and a lot of times we'll look over it and look past it, especially if they've been so sweet and so good. You know, we'll look over it because we'll find a reason. You know, they just did that just because of whatever, because we really want this person to be who we thought they were in the beginning. And then they start slipping. They slip, start hanging. They start doing a little, you know, whatever, whatever. But when they find out, when you say those words to them and they really start feeling your energy that you're so connected to them, that's when they go in for the kill. You start seeing more and more things about them. But by that time, it's too late because you're already hooked. You know, well, baby, all of a sudden now they don't have time for you. They you know, less and less time for you. They're doing other things. Or, you know, when really they're getting up with somebody else. But you believe what they're saying, you know. But then on the opposite end, you have that person who is being romantically involved with someone who is really true and honorable to be with and looking for something of substance. You know the difference, because you know what? It's a whole different type of feeling. You know, it's something that you can see. It's something that you sense. They will not, I'm not going to get too far into it or whatever, but, you know, they're going to give you just what they want. You're not going to feel the depths of them because they're going to give you exactly what you want, just enough to you know, what not with the romantic part. With the romantic part, they're going to give you what they feel that you need and what you want and what they desire to get back from you, you know. And so it grows from that point. But right there, I'm going to stop because I don't want to say too much, but I just wanted to open it up with just that little bit right there, if there was a little bit.
Well, thank you. Anybody want to add anything to that? Anybody out there in the audience want to add something to that and have something to say?
Come on, people.
Can't hear you.
This is 8828, and I just want to piggyback a little bit on what Janet just said. With respect to your intuition, because I have been played. And I think I was played by a master of the game. But along in the game, I knew everything in me was saying that, you know, I was being played. But just like she said, I was like, no, I'm going to believe what they're saying. But everything in my body knew that I was being played. So I just want to strongly put out there to go with your intuition. And just like she said, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a damn duck.
Sure.
So
thank you.
Be on guard with that.
Thank you. I know one of the things is that the difference, when you're looking at the difference of when someone is romancing you and when someone is a romantic, they tend to take their time with you. There is no schedule and no time limit as to how quickly they need to get to know who you are, because they're feeling like this is something they want to really be into. So they're not in a rush to try to get everything going. You know, they're not, they may tell you, you know, I've known there's something about you when I first met you that struck me. And, you know, I know that you you know, we're going to be together for a very long time. They may say something like that, but they're not going to have pushed you into a relationship and you almost living together within the first couple of weeks of getting to know you. They're going to take their time with it because for them it's something about longevity. It's something that they want to really involve themselves in and be a part of, and they really want to get to know you. It's almost like for those of you out there who are wine tasters, you don't pour a big glass, a full glass of wine, and gulp it down and then move to the next wine. That's not how wine tasting goes, you know. You have enough to taste, and you clear the palate as you move to the next one so that you can breathe it in. You sniff the wine, you taste the wine, you allow air into your mouth so you can get all of the different aromas, and then you move to the next one. But you, before you do that, you drink some water to clear and clean the palate, and you move on. So it's, you have that time. You feel like you have that time, and there's no rush, so you're taking your time. You're getting to know. You're dating. You're courting. You're doing all of those things. The player, when they first meet you and they get that interest, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to play extremely hard to get and make you thirsty and want to hear from them, because they'll say they're going to call. They've given you enough to make you interested in wanting to hear more from them. They said, I'm going to call you, give me your number. You know, I want to call you and hook up. And it'll be days and days that'll pass that you may or may not hear from them. Or they'll do it the opposite way. They'll meet you. They get you hooked. They get that spark in your eye, and then they will spend the whole night on the phone with you. You wake up in the morning, y'all still breathing, you hear snoring and everything. They're still on the phone because they're trying to get you comfortable. They're trying because they're getting ready to move in, and they're getting ready to move very swiftly because players want one of two things. They either want what it is that you have, or they're coming to you for sex. They're going to hit it, and they're going to quit it. And they're going to move to the next person. Very few true players keep an entourage. You know, you see them with different women all the time. There's no one that's ever permanent because permanence is not something in their game plan because that's not what they do. They're not looking for something that's going to prevent them from being able to move on to the next one. And they will call it all kinds of things, like, I want to be free, I want to be this, I want to be that, everything, but I want to be honest and let you know that I don't want to just be with you. Whereas romantics will do things totally different. They're into you. I mean, you could be at a party. They'll never turn their head from you and look at anyone else. They're focused on you, and whenever they're around you, their focus is about you and getting to know you and wanting to know you, and not just the big things about you, those little things about you that you probably wouldn't feel comfortable sharing with anyone and letting you know that it's okay. But as Janet was saying, you don't just pour your whole life out to anyone the first night, the first week, the first month. You know, you take time because if it's something that's going to work and it's something that's going to last, then you have to take time to get to know one another. And you can't get to know someone in one phone call because you've talked all night and now 3-4 days down the road you're in a relationship. You didn't court, you didn't date. And a lot of times, a lot of people find themselves into things that they had no intentions of being in because everything went by so fast. And so they got caught up into something they really didn't want to be in. And if I can keep you off kilter, if I can keep you, you know, off your game, if I can keep you at a disadvantage and slightly leaning and you don't know whether you're coming or going, then I'm ahead of you and you're always running from behind and you don't know what's going on. So as long as you're running from behind, you're not seeing anything until after it's happened. And so you can't prevent yourself from breaking your own heart, because that's what happens when you deal with a player and you're showing and you're seeing flags and you stay in. At some point, you're breaking your own heart. Anyone, any questions out there? Anyone have anything they might want to add? Okay. So now you got some players who really, really, really play the game, and they play the game well, you know, where their women all know that the other woman exists. They just, each and every one of them just thinks they're the number one girl. And so they're not worried about the others because they're the number one girl. And at the end of the day, the number one girl is the one who gets everything, but that's a part of the game. There are people who spend all of their time on the internet because that's where they pick up all of their people. You know them when you see them. They come into the group and they make a stance. They set themselves apart from everyone there. They try to make themselves the focal point every day. Even from the way they introduce themselves into the group, they come in, they find the boss's picture that they think they can find, whether it's really them or not. And then they put that picture out there, and then they commence to wooing everybody that they seem to have an interest in behind the scenes. They in those inboxes, getting those questions. They ask those really super duper personal questions, like, what's your favorite position? Do you like this, that, and the other? When, you know, really at some point, at some age, you have to know that some things are personal and you don't share with everyone. If my first question to you when I first take you out is, what do you like in bed? That's an early time to ask that question to you. We don't even know if we even like one another, but I've already asked you. So, you know, so tell me, what do you like in bed? What's your preference? You know, do you do this, that, or the other? If that's my first set of questions, if my questions are all sexual to you, then you got to know where I'm headed, and you got to know what it is that I desire, because there are a million and one other things I can ask you to get to know you before I get to that. And that's really a quick and a fast move for me to start talking to you about sex in the first call. Unless, you know, there's a discussion, a group discussion that's going on about sex, and so everybody's talking about it. But if we're on a one-on-one and my first thing with you is about that, then you know what I'm looking for. That's what I'm after. And if you're going to play this game with me, you're in a no-win situation. Because if you hold out too long, then I'm going to lose interest. If you give it to me too quick, then I've won. There's nothing left for me to get, and I'm gone. See, so you're in a no-win situation when it's about sex for the person. No matter how good you think your sex is, they're getting sex coming from every direction. So, you know, yours is no more off the chain than the other sex that's out there, because what makes one person's sex better than the other person's sex is the emotion they tie behind it and the emotion you have with it. So, and then on the other side of that, the romantic tends to want to let that be something that comes over time. Let that kind of burn, you know, let that fire, just stoke that fire and stoke that fire and stoke that fire so that it's something that's actually special. You know, I don't want to know that you are so willing to give yourself over so easily to everyone, and quite frankly, very few people believe that they that special, where you giving it over to them that quickly and you wouldn't do it to anyone else. That's just how people's minds work, because they've all been out there and everybody has been jaded or tainted in some kind of way. And we're not trying to paint an ugly picture. We're just trying to paint the picture that of the things that you run into when you're out on the dating scene. The romantic has no problem turning their phone off and putting it on the table, or letting the phone stay and be on the table and not have a problem and not be concerned if it rings or anything like that. The player will not let their phone be in your eyesight so that you can see that other people are calling or things like that. They just, it's not going to be that way because that's where all their games go. That's where they keep all of their information. That's where everybody's calling. That's where everybody wants to know, are you coming over? When you're coming over, are you still coming over? You know, can we hook up tonight? That's where all of that stuff is going on. So they can't, it's like that little black book. They can't be without it. It goes everywhere. It's even under the pillow when they're sleeping at night. You know, so it's that kind of stuff. So if they're really funny in particular about their phone and they won't lay their phone down around you, you know, you have to watch yourself. You have to be careful. If they won't invite you over to their home, if all of the interactions that you have are always at your place or you're out, because if your house is that bad where you can't invite anybody else to it, you shouldn't want to go in there yourself. So there are flags. There are huge flags. When you walk in the room with somebody and other women are giving you the side eye, like, you know, they mad and you know, they bumping you accidentally and all that kind of stuff, something's up. And let me throw this out there while we're talking, and hopefully you guys will eventually start talking back at Janet and I. Let me throw this one out there for you. This is not just a stud thing. Femmes are playing like nobody's business, and women play, they're masters at it. I know men think that they invented the whole thing, but women are masters at being able to play games because we are masters at emotions. We're socialized. Mm-hmm. To be emotional. We're socialized to read emotions. We're socialized to read body languages. That's all we do. We're caretakers, so that's our thing. So we have an upper hand in being able to read someone and know exactly who we can and who we cannot approach. Because trust and believe, the player is not going to go for somebody that's strong and can take care of themselves. You have to have that issue with your self-esteem. You have to feel, you have to be somewhat of that shy individual. And a lot of times people are shy and you can't tell because they look like they're the life of the party when you see them. But there are some people who are very shy but can function at parties like they are not. But if you get them alone and by themselves, you know, they're extremely, extremely timid people. And those are the kind of people that they zero in, those people who are not strong, those people who will not stop them, those people who are not in full control of who they are as of yet. So they look for those people that they can feed. You know, they can feed that need for, you know, because they could tell you every day they'll find that girl that doesn't quite know she's beautiful. She's beautiful as all get out, but something happened, and she no longer knows she's beautiful, and that's what she's going to work on. Oh, you beautiful. I don't know why you don't know that you're beautiful and everything. I mean, I don't know why you don't have nobody. Are you kidding me? Come on. Let me take you out. Let me take you out. Let me show you. Let me show you what you've been missing. Whereas the femme on the other side, what you mean she don't do? She won't do that for you? Well, I mean, if it was me, you know, I mean, like I do it. This is how I do it. I'm going to make sure that everything is just the way you like it. You like your bath drawn? I'm going to draw your bath. You like someone to prepare and cook that food for you all the time? I'm going to do all of it. They will lay it out. They will spread it. And they will spread it thick to get you in. The romantic will keep it going. The player only plays till they win. And it's not a long game. because that means they got to put way too much energy in it. They don't have time to put that much energy into one person. They start to fall off, fade off. You give them that sex too soon, you're not getting calls anymore. And they're giving you 9,000 excuses. All of a sudden, they got a job that keeps them working all day and all night until somebody else is not available, and at 11 p.m. or midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, they call and asking you what you're doing. And can I come over? The romantic is not going to treat you like you the side chick or you the jump off. They're going to always treat you like you're the main person in their lives, like you're the important person in their lives, because they want to make sure that you are comfortable with them so that you can continue to build and grow within that relationship. Because once again, they're looking for longevity. That's why people all the time call them hopeless. You know, you're absolutely hopeless. I mean, look at you. You whipped. You this, you that. No, I just respect this person that I have an interest in, and I want to spend time with them. I want to get to know them. Anybody out there have anything they want to add?
Hi, everyone. 252. Listen, if this was Periscope, I would be heart in the world. If this was the internet, I would be loving this status. This everything that you have said tonight is completely accurate. And a lot of times I like to always talk from experience or from opinion and tell you which one I'm talking from. And what I'm about to say, I'm speaking from experience. You know, the old saying is true. When you learn better, you do better. Everything that you said about players was everything that I was when I was in my 20s. And I had a girlfriend the whole time. And oddly enough, everything that you said, I mean, you're relentless with it. I have made trips. I mean, I can remember occasions where I may be a four-hour trip from my house to her house. It may take me 7 hours to make because I'm going to stop three times before I get there to see someone else. So everything that you're saying, every little clue that you gave, everything that you said, game recognizes game, and you were naming game right then. Conversely, everything that you said about romantic is also very much true. When my mother passed, in effect, had an epiphany, and I looked at, you know, how she had been treated as a woman all the days of her life. And it was something inside me that clicked and said, you know what, you're out here dating women. You have seen this. It's what you said. It's emotional. It's from within. It touches at the heart. And, you know, and that's where I kind of turned the corner of being how I was and came to be the kind of incurable romantic that I am now. Now, from time to time, because you hit a few things, you know, that made me wonder, okay, maybe you still have a few player tendencies in you, because a couple of things that you mentioned are things that I am still guilty of doing. But my point is this. Everything that you have said tonight is true. I can co-sign it. I can say amen to it. And I want you guys to know you're not just talking to yourself. But what you're saying is true. Everything you're saying is true.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. And we appreciate you sharing that. I remember when I was when I was in college, and my sorority sisters used to call me the international sorority, because it was like I dated someone of every nationality, and it was like I was married to my music, so I was never committed to anyone more than I was committed to my music. And so to keep myself from experiencing all of that, I just would not have a serious per se relationship. But what I did differently, and Janet will probably jump in here on this one, I didn't hide what I was doing. I was very clear as to how, and Janet would tell you that's a true player. Because I was clear, you know, I see you, and we might all be in the same place. But we all knew our boundaries, and we all knew if you saw me out with someone else, that means that wasn't your night tonight. And and I told you that in advance. I'm not cheating on you. I'm not playing you. I said, here, this is my hand. These are my cards. This is what I have. And so, therefore, can you deal with it? This is what I have. This is all I have that I can give right here, because my music is I'm focused and trying to be in a relationship, knowing what relationships entail, that's going to be too much. But if you want to have some fun and go out and have a good time and we can hang and we can chill, because everybody was somebody to hang with. It wasn't we weren't on a date. We hanging. You know, I was clear with my words because words mean a whole lot. We hanging. Mm-hmm. So if you see me hanging with somebody, don't come acting no fool, because you already know. But that's not pretty much how players do things. There's very few. That's old school playing. There are very few people that will play the game that tough, where they're honest about what's going on. And that's the other difference between a romantic and what they're going to do and what the player is going to do. Because remember, one is a game and one is reality. And some can get comfortable in the game because they know they will continue to play the game even when they say they're in a relationship. They still will play the game. And like I said, women are the best at it because you can't really tell who is just a friend and who isn't when we all get together.
So
It's that kind of stuff. So I know a lot of times people say, you know, you just have to trust. And you know, and I'm just going to be honest with you with that whole notion of how people recklessly throw out that word trust. Because I have to trust you when you're showing me that I shouldn't trust you. Now, you pulling that on me doesn't mean you're smarter than me. That means you just flat out disrespectfully think I'm stupid. You think I'm dumb. So to tell me I should just trust you when you got so many flags coming out of you, you look like the United Nations. But again, that's the part of the game. So you get me to trust you. You get me to not believe what I see. You get me not to fall into and trust my own intuition. Again, you got me off kilter. You got me at a disadvantage. As a romantic, I don't want you at a disadvantage. You know, I want you to be on level with me. And by level with me doesn't mean that we're going to always be in the same place at the same time, but being level with me lets me know that when I am not in the same place, then you will lift me up and vice versa. So I want you to be on my level. In order for us to be and remain on the same level, then we have to be honest with who we are. We have to be honest with, you know, you might run across somebody who will be all right with the game because they're playing the game too. But you never know, because you're never going to be honest enough to throw that game out there. Here's what we're doing. And we have to be, if we're going to play the game, then play the game where everybody can participate and be a part of it, as opposed to a game being played on you. We're playing the game, and okay, may the best person win. I'm with you on that one. I can do that. But when you don't want to be honest with me and you want to just be disrespectful, because that's what that is. You want to be disrespectful towards me. You want to bring energy to me that I'm not interested in having. Because, see, when I took you on, I do understand fully in a spiritual way that everyone that you have ever engaged with, you're carrying some of their energy unless you cleanse yourself after every relationship. Their energy is still a part of you because you have intertwined that energy if you have not done any cleansing. So I understand that. I'm talking about the energy you getting when it was just when I'm not talking about your past energy. I'm talking about your present energy. I'm talking about the energy that you bring into me in the presence, to the point where when I'm next to you, I can sense that somebody else is there with us. That energy, that's what I'm talking about. And that's where you're going when you're talking about romance. You're talking about being able to read someone's energy, that when you're not even in the same room together, you could be at work. And you pick up the phone and say, "Are you okay? Because I just got this feeling, and I just needed to pick up the phone and call to ask you if you were okay." And then on the other end of that phone, it says, "Well, you know what? No, I'm really not." That's a connection. And that's what relationships are about, whether it be your friendship, your lover, your siblings. That's what relationships are about. You're supposed to be so connected to that person, not dependent, but connected to that person so that you can feel. And that takes time. That takes building. That's not something that can be rushed. So you have to control the speed of the relationships that you desire. If you feel like they're moving too fast for you, you can't be afraid to tell them to slow down because you think they're going somewhere. Because a romantic ain't going nowhere if they're interested in you. They'll be right there. Be right there. They never grow tired. They never grow weary of waiting for you because it's not a game. They don't have a time limit. Any comments? Anybody want to say anything? I have got to get you guys feeling freer to talk. There's no judgment here. Let me go ahead and say that. There's no judgment. This is about iron, sharpening iron, so that we can have much more holistic lives and becoming our authentic selves, so that when we can do that, then we can go out and we can spread that and we can make a change in ways that, you know, people never consider and think about, because we hold all the power within ourselves to make a change. We don't have to be important. We don't have to be big. We don't have to be superstars. We don't have to be athletes. We don't have to be politicians to make a change within the communities and the environments that we're in. We just have to be willing to be open and live our authentic selves and live our authentic lives. So a part of this is allowing us to be free to talk. This is a place where you can say, because you're not saying your name, and if somebody know your number and they want to go run and tell it, give them something to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about the phone situation. Let's talk about that bathroom, that how they people the bathrooms are for so many different things, and people utilize the bathrooms to do their business, and I don't mean to utilize the bathroom, but that's where a lot of phone calls, they're just sitting there on the phone, sitting there texting, got the shower going, sitting in there texting and they're having a full-fledged conversation while you're thinking something else is going on. They step away. I'll be right back. I have to go to the restroom because they've seen someone else in the room, and so they went that way, so that's the way they're going, and they'll be back, and they'll be back a little differently with you than the way they left. There are some people who love the game, and I don't mean the player part of it. There are some people who love to be the receiver in the game. It makes them feel alive. It makes them feel like they're important to someone. It doesn't matter to them that they continuously get hurt within the game. What matters to them is that they're getting attention. Some people are okay with negative attention, and some people are not. But there are people who are perfectly fine with the game. They never step outside of the game. Every relationship they have has been a game, and they love it, because if they didn't love it, they'd change it. As I told a best friend of mine once, you know, at this point now, it's not a mistake, it's a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
You keep running to it. Anybody have anything they want to add or any questions out there, may it be on topic or off, that they want to ask Janet and I?
Hi, this is Jocelyn. I do have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Jocelyn.
My question is, actually it's a two-part question. One part is how, like, say someone has a reputation in the community of being a player, is it possible to revamp your image? And the second part is, how do you go about doing it successfully?
Jenny, you want to take part of that, or you want to take a first stab and I'll come in afterwards?
The first part, what was that first part of the question?
Is it possible for someone who has a reputation of being a player to change that image?
Oh, most certainly.
And the second part is how?
I think anybody can change, you know, have a reputation of being one way for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, because things happen. People grow. People evolve. A lot of things that I used to do when I was younger, you know, that I may have had a reputation for, I don't do it. I'm not there right now, you know, as I've gotten older or whatever, some things you just kind of put away. Some things you just kind of outgrow or, you know, whatever. As far as having that stigma on you, that probably would always be there as far as people say, well, yeah, you know, they used to be this. You would never believe it now, but this person used to be such a player. Oh, my God, this person, every time you saw them, they had a different woman. They did this, they did that. They, you know, there was no shame, you know, whatever, whatever. And look at them now. Look at this person now, how devoted they are to this one person. They've been married for, you know, almost 20 years and, you know, love the family and blah, 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 blah. So, yes, I think people can, you know, can change, you know, but that comes from within. That comes from something, that a desire that they change, that they desire to make. You know, for whatever their reasons are, they can do it. But I think that stigma can always remain with them, but they can still be appreciated for where they are. But you can have that second part of the question if you like to, Kindred.
I'm glad you went down that road, because that was a good direction for you to go. Because what I was going to say to Jocelyn was, you know, at the end of the day, the only person that the player has to convince that reputation no longer, that reputation was their past and they are now a new person, is that person that they're interested in. Hell away with everybody else that's out there, because you're not going to be able to convince all of those people, and it doesn't matter if they believe that you are now going to change and be different. It's irrelevant. If there is someone, because every player at some point in time can get to a point where playing doesn't mean the same thing to them anymore, and they don't want to play anymore because they found that one person that's made them want to go ahead and turn in that player's card.
Mm-hmm.
how they can make that, how they can go about making that change is be committed to being different.
Mm-hmm.
They have to commit to the change that they're saying that they're in, that they're about, that change that they want to have. They have to commit to that. You can't say, I'm a changed individual, because that's the right thing to say to get the individual that you want, and then through the entire process of that, you're still doing the same things. For an alcoholic to say, I don't drink anymore, they have to stop drinking. That doesn't mean mm-hmm. they're not an alcoholic. It just means they don't drink anymore. That's what mm-hmm. that means. As the young lady said earlier, she said, you know, some of the things that I had said make us still think that she still got a little player in her. Well, of course she's going to have, of course. You know, it's, you're changing doesn't mean that you don't have it in you anymore. It means that you don't act on it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It means that you don't do it anymore, because some things about it is just your core personality and your core character. So
mm-hmm.
You just don't do it anymore. You know, you have retrained yourself. You have I hate to use the word train, but so let's say you have metamorphed. You have become that butterfly now, and so you were. Are you still part caterpillar? Yes. If you look at a butterfly, they still have that little part that's still worm-like within them. So they're still part caterpillar, but now they've morphed into this beautiful butterfly. And so, can they go all the way back to being a caterpillar? No. So you have to commit to the change and to the person that you're now saying that you are, and that's a one day at a time thing, and that's saying I'm doing it for me and not for someone, and you can stick mm-hmm. to it and you can keep moving forward. Everything is about always keeping stepping forward, stepping forward, stepping forward, stepping forward, no matter how thick the mud is, no matter how high the water gets, you keep moving forward, because eventually on the other side, you'll be upright and things will be easier for you, and things will have changed and things will be different. But you gotta mm-hmm. you gotta have that in you to want to do, and that's how you make that change.
Right, and I think also, too, it's like what Oprah said, you know, that aha moment. Sometimes it takes something that happens a lot of times, not all the time, but there are occasions where something happens that breaks us, you know, and you just don't want to do it no more. You may have hurt one person too many, and that devastated you, or that put you, sent you to a certain place to where that was so damaging for that person, you know, till that person was inconsolable. Consolable. So sometimes people, you know, when they make certain changes or whatever, it's usually because something triggered something in them to say, man, that's, you know, I can't do that, you know. Or some things you just outgrow, as I said before. Like yeah. I said, I mean, I was never a perfect. I know this is so hard for y'all to believe this, but Jackie just was not a perfect kid or young teenager or young adult. I know it's hard for y'all, but try to just get that, you know. And it's a lot of things that, you know, people will probably see and, you know, whatever. But some things about Jana will never change, and that's my humor. That will never change, even though y'all may not see a lot of it on Facebook. You probably have to just be around me in order to get the good part of Jana. Well, I give y'all good stuff anyway, but anyway. It's just some things that you just have to experience in order to say, no, I can't go there no more. You know, that's old days. I don't even want to go back that way. You enjoyed it while you were in it, but then there comes a time when, you know, things change. And, you know, like Uncle Charlie said, you know, you find that right person or whatever, and they move something within you. They don't just mentally look good to you. I mean, physically look good to you and say, wow, you know, I would really love to get with her. I would love to, you know what I'm saying? Because we look at everything on a visual thing, or, you know, how she might be on the intersexual level or whatever, but we're not connecting at all. And sometimes all it takes is that one person to really see past everything, see past the hurts, the wounds. A lot of times people act out of pain when they do a lot of that stuff. It may not seem like it, but
right.
Not everybody, but some people act out of their own pain of whatever it was that they dealt with when they were younger. They're acting out. They want to almost hurt other people the way they were hurt, or let other people see how, you know, it's almost like a retaliation. They're not getting back at the person that hurt them, but, you know, they're just out there hurting people. And then at some point
right.
in time in their life, whether it's that one person that they meet that connects with them, and somebody tells them, say, you know what, I know what you are, I know what you're doing, and, you know, I really like you, but I like you for what I see you, the real you, not for the person that you, your image. The image that you're portraying, you know, it's cute, but it's something there that I see that you don't really want me to see, and I feel it. And that's the part of you
right.
that I want to connect with. And if I can connect with that person right there, you know, then I will talk to you. But as long as I have to deal with this image of who you are, I'll keep it on a friend basis. Because I've told people that in the past, you know, that I felt like it was about, you know, wanting to get with Janet just for whatever the reasons was, you know. And then once that person say, okay, well, you know, if you feel like you can reach me or touch me like that or whatever, then okay, if you want to make a game out of it, fine. And usually that person wins, because that person don't say things that they're not capable of doing. Anytime somebody goes to you with a conscious mind and they're seeing past what you're trying to do, and they're looking at you in the spiritual realm rather than on a physical note and, you know, all of the other glory that they might see, that's usually the person that probably can connect with that person and probably will know that person better than that person know themselves. Or I
Absolutely.
Should say reacquaint themselves with themselves. They know, but they allow so much pain and so much other things to suppress who they really were. It took someone with a special eye to see who they really were, and that person is the one usually to turn them.
Absolutely. Or to speak to them, and that was heavy.
Speak, yeah.
To speak
yeah.
to them enough to make them want to be different.
Right. Exactly.
One of the other things you need to deal with is that they never ever call you girlfriend. You're always
mm-hmm.
the friend. And if all you want to be is the friend, and be the friend and stop giving your friend all of the perks of a girlfriend or a boyfriend, then you want
mm-hmm.
to be my friend. There are just some things I don't do with my friend. So
right.
if I'm your friend, then let's keep it there and don't be looking for anything that is outside of that friendship zone, how I deem a friendship zone to be. I can't speak on everybody's friendships, but how I would deem a friendship zone to be, unless I'm talking about my friend who was also my partner. That's different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you have also that thing, and then you have whereas the romantic, you know, might be calling you girlfriend before you want them to call you girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
This is my lover. This is my partner. This is my, or, well, you know, what did you just call me? Well, that's how I see. So, you know, I'll wait
mm-hmm.
for you to catch up to that. But that's how I see you. I love you, and I'm willing to wait indefinitely until you can see that love, until you can accept that love, until you're ready to experience that love. And that's a beautiful thing, because they're willing to wait for you to get to where they know you can be.
Mm-hmm.
with the understanding that they know they're not wasting their time on you. Because
mm-hmm,
as
mm-hmm.
Janet was saying, you know, sometimes people see you for who you are when you've lost sight.
Right.
And
exactly.
And it's easy to lose sight of yourself, because there's so many people out there who are willing to hang another you on top of you. You know,
mm-hmm,
it's like
mm-hmm.
those
restoration tubs and bathrooms where they don't have to come and pull anything out. They just lay overlay something on top of it. There are people who are overlaying on people out there, and it looks good and it seems good and everybody is attracted to it, so they keep it. Whether or not that's who they are or not, and most times that's how players stop playing. They wake up one day and realize it's not who they really are. It was something that they did because they could, but it's not who they really are, and they don't like the taste of it anymore. Not only have they realized how they've hurt other people, they start to experience how they've hurt themselves in some of the things that they've done. So there's another way that you can go about bringing about a change of yourself. How a player can change, they need to sit down and really process the impact that they had on others and themselves. And many times that's enough to make you want to be different. Because some people have broken people down to a shell of themselves, and those people never come back from it. And they remain alone when they could have just allowed someone who could really see that person and love that person for who they are to have that person. You know? And instead, they damage that person. Because remember, I've already told you, everyone has been played at some point in time in their lives. And normally, when you get played is when you're at your most desperate state, your most lowest state, or your self-esteem has been shaken in some way, shape, form, or fashion. That's when they get you, when you're weak. So that anybody who says they haven't been played, I tell them they haven't loved, or they haven't been in, they just haven't been out there. There's no way, or you just ain't realized you got played. Because, you know, everybody at some point in time experiences the game. So
you got double played if you got played and didn't realize you were played. I'm just saying.
But you know there are some people out there who get played who don't realize they've been played.
That's right. That's what I said. You did not only get played. I ain't never been played. Yes, you have, baby. You got double played because you got played and you didn't realize you were played.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And by the time it catch up to you, you'd be like, well, gee, I guess I was played 10 years down the road.
Scratching their head. Yeah, I guess they did play me, huh?
And they walking away just grinning and smiling. But, you know, it's we've all been there. And it's because we got caught at a time when we were vulnerable. I tell people all the time, the worst time in the world to seek to being in a relationship is when you're feeling like you're desperate.
Thirsty.
Because you will end up into, even if the person isn't a player, you will just end up in some stuff that's not good for you because you were willing to accept anything because you're desperate. You don't want to be alone. You don't want to, you're tired of being alone. You're tired of being by yourself, and you just want to have somebody, anybody. And so you get yourself into some tough stuff. And, I mean, I tell people that's the time to take the time to get to know you. Get to know you. Get to know what you can handle. Get to know what you want. If you don't know what you want going into a relationship, trust and believe, once you're in the relationship, you're never, ever going to get to that point of getting what you want from that relationship because you've already, again, you're starting from behind. You can't say, let's build this home together, and they pour down the foundation on their side of the house, and you looking at curtains on your side of the house. They putting up beams and walls, you picking out a couch for your side. that's your contribution. You still ain't laid down no foundation, though. You don't have any beams. You don't have any walls, but you already got the trimming. So, again, you're at a disadvantage because all of that time where things were supposed to be built and laid out and all of that stuff, you didn't do it. And a romantic will keep you on task. When they pour in their foundation, they're going to be talking to you about pouring your foundation so it can be smooth and it can level it off.
That's right.
When they're putting up their beams, they're going to be talking to you about putting up your beams because you got to place those beams in the right place so that house could be sturdy. When they're putting up them walls, you got to make sure you put the insulation in because, you know, you don't want all of the noise everywhere. You don't want to hear everything. You don't want paper thin. So you're going to work on that kind of stuff together.
You don't need the neighbors to hear.
We'll open up a window. you know, they got to lay you on it. You know, you got that. That's that working in that building together.
That's right.
The player ain't trying to build nothing with you because they're not staying there with you. The player got somewhere to go all the time. And you got to be all right with telling that player no when they call you at 1 o'clock wanting to know if you can come over. No, you just stay where you at.
That's right. Stay
you got to be all right with you don't want to ask them for the key, then change the cylinder. And they could put their key in all day. It ain't going to turn no more. You have got to be willing to lay down boundaries when a person isn't building along with you.
That's right.
Because, you know, your body is a temple. And I know people, oh, here we go with this spiritual stuff, and here we go.
No, that's
true.
That is absolutely true.
Your body is a temple, and you have to treat it as so. And not everybody who comes to the temple is there to worship. But they should be.
That's true.
And I'm not talking about making your partner a god. What I am saying is that you are in tune with them enough to care for them in the way that they care for themselves, or even better than they are willing to care for themselves until they get to the point where they can fully love themselves and understand that their caring now meets the caring that you have for them. You're supposed to worship at that temple. You give praise. You honor the person that you're taking into your bedroom. You honor them because what you're saying is, I am willing to share my energy with your energy and walk away with a part of you. That's what I'm doing. I'm walking away with a part of you. Because if you just went to bed with somebody and you figure you ain't taking none of their energy with them, I'm not sure what you were doing while you were there.
Some energy you don't want to take with you.
Well, but guess what? Every time you lay down with somebody, you take that energy with you. Whether you want that energy with you or not, that's why cleansing is so important.
It is.
And you got people that's carrying energy from one relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship, wondering why they're not lasting really long. It's what you're carrying, baby. It's what you're carrying.
Well, they don't have a sweet spirit once they lay around with me. I'm just going to tell you. Let me stop.
Yeah, people are like, what do you mean, cleanse yourself? Do I need to go to? No, you can go online and get spiritual cleansings, and you can pick up the stuff just about anywhere in any store, and you don't even have to go to a special store. it's out there, and you just really do need to cleanse yourself. When you get overwhelmed, your body's starting to ache in ways. You find yourself attached to people that you know you have no business still being attached to because you have shared that energy with them. You need to cleanse. You need to break free.
Mm-hmm.
You need to cleanse yourself. That was one of the things about the washing of the feet when people came into your home. I guess people just figured they didn't want you to bring that dirt into the. You brought dirt in anyway because I let you walk into my house already. I didn't wash your feet out. Then you walked into my house. You came into my house and you brought that dirt into my house. But once you got into my house, because see, I can sweep that dirt away. Once you got into my house, I washed your feet. I cleansed you. I made you feel at home. I made you feel like you were welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships are about being welcomed. And if you're not feeling welcomed in that relationship, then you need to check the rules of the game.
Yes, Lord.
Because nobody has any business in something that they're not feeling like they're comfortable in and they're safe in. How could you possibly share yourself with someone that you don't feel safe with? You don't know what they're going to do. And these days, you don't know what they're going to bring because people are reckless.
That's right.
More reckless than they were in the past because we know that way back in the past, people didn't know half of what we know today about diseases that we're not checking because we figure, I can't get nothing. I'm messing with a woman. The devil is a liar.
Right.
So you have to guard yourself, and it's all right. You don't know them. People say, well, you're never going to trust. You're never going to find anybody. I don't know you. How am I going to trust you? I don't know you. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get to know you, and right now the stuff that you are showing me says this. I'm giving you now the opportunity to say, no, that's not true. And then if you tell me, no, that's not true, then my expectation
is that
you're
going to
show me something different.
Is there ever a case or a time when someone can say, okay, what do you mean trust me? You know, you're doing things that making me not trust you. When you're dating someone, isn't there a certain amount of trust you got to have for them to want to even try to date them?
I mean,
or is it everything got to be an accusation, you know, it took you 10 minutes longer to go come from the store than it did yesterday. I mean, just little stupid stuff. I mean, is it some type of, where do you draw the line?
Well,
you have to,
here's the deal about relationships. Relationships are like swimming. You can't swim if you're sitting on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But you can opt whether or not you're going to wade in that pool and stand in 3 feet and move your arms and be safe. Depending on your height, move out to 5 or 6. You know, float.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your head above water, or whether you're going to go out in the deep end. Now, here's how trust works in relationships. You have no business in the beginning of that relationship in the deep end of the water.
That's true.
I'm not telling you to sit on the side and just swing your feet in. I'm saying it's okay to get in 3 feet of water if you're 5 feet tall. Because you can see what's coming, and you're well above the water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't suggest that anyone go into a relationship and go down to the diving board and jump in on the deep end. Especially if you don't know what you're swimming in. So I'm saying that you have to take your time and step into that water and gradually move yourself down to the deep end. That's the kind of trust that you have in relationships. I'm not saying you because you distrust a person and they're supposed to earn your trust in that way. You have to give them some trust. You have to trust
that's,
and believe
that's what I'm saying.
That
yeah,
this
at what
person
point, I mean,
is going
yeah.
to be open and honest with you. When they start showing you something different, then you get yourself back over there to that safe end.
Mm-hmm.
A life preserver, jacket, something. Don't drown. But we want, or our people want us to jump on the deep end too soon. Everybody can't swim. So yes, there has to be a level of trust. And you said something that really touched me, because if I go to the store, normally I can get back within the same amount of time. But this one time, I'm taking a little longer in the store,
mm-hmm.
and I go through a million and one questions.
Mm-hmm.
My response to the person taking me through all of that is, this time when I went to the store, I really didn't know what it was that I wanted. So I spent some time walking around that store looking. Then by the time I got ready to check out, the lines were long. That took a little longer too, because now I was in the store longer than I normally are. I went to the store this time a little later than I was. Why am I going through this with you?
Okay, but you do
what
that.
Is
and
it, what is it that I have done within mm-hmm. the time frame when you didn't ask me these questions
mm-hmm.
and when you're now asking me these questions?
Mm-hmm.
Did I do something to cause you to start asking me questions, or am I experiencing one of your bags that you've opened up for the night?
Experience one of the bags. Yeah, that's pretty much what
you know, because we be carrying some luggage.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the satchel that you have been piling things into for me?
Mm-hmm.
Or have you opened up a bag of somebody else's stuff on
mm-hmm.
me? All of a sudden I was late and I done triggered your baggage.
Right. And that's basically what it is. There's nothing no different.
So unless I have some flags that have gone out, I'm not saying you be completely 100% trustful, because once again, trust gets greater as you spend more and more time with the person and you become more and more comfortable with the person. But if I haven't done anything to
right.
warrant you asking me a question like that just because I didn't get back from the store as quickly as I normally get back from the store, or you talking about your own baggage and what you doing, you projecting now because you know when you go out you're not doing what you're supposed to do and you done come in here
mm-hmm.
and you done put me under the light.
Mm-hmm.
Trust and believe, I'm going to ask questions back.
Sure.
I'm not going to be nasty about it, but I'm going to ask you questions back. Well, what is it that I've done that would make you think I'm doing something other than going directly to the store? It could have been an accident out there and I got stuck behind the traffic. What did I do, though, other than be a little late? And that's not enough for you to ask me a question like that, because normally I'm not late and this was a one-time thing. So whose bag are you
mm-hmm.
looking at?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by that energy and holding
mm-hmm.
on to that energy of those bad relationships from those people that have done you harm, and they still festering and moving about within you, in your mind,
mm-hmm.
in your body, even in your homes. You haven't even cleansed your home from them. And I don't mean you don't clean up all the time, you don't clean up every week your house. I mean the energy grabs hold and sticks to everything in your house, your walls.
Mm-hmm.
Your bed, the floors, your pets, you.
Mm-hmm.
Your food. They'll get you some sage burning in that house and start doing some cleansing. Because you need to let some of that go. See, because there are people who are good people who made some mistakes and reconciled and have made amends to the mistakes they made, and they won't make that mistake anymore. And there are people who will continue to make that mistake every time because it's a habit. It's a hobby, and it's a habit, and it's something that they do. So it's not really a mistake. That's their hobby. That's what they do. A mistake a person does one time, one or two times, learn from it, and they move on from it. And, yes, there has to be trust. I don't suggest anybody give 100% of trust at the start. You don't know them. You're still working and getting to know them, and as you get to know them, you let that grow. Don't be mad because they won't give you all of that trust at one time. You're not going to do it, so why do you want them to do something you're not going to do?
Yeah, but like you said, you know, unless you've done something to make them feel or raise some red flags with them, then you shouldn't have to go through, you know, a whole bunch of red tape and jumping over hoops and all that kind of stuff because, you know, that can become a problem.
Now, if you're doing something, don't be
doing
mad at that.
Different story.
Because you know you're doing
something. Right, but that's if you're doing something. I'm saying if you're not doing something and then someone does that. That's basically
what
you said. That's baggage. It's just baggage.
Yeah. But see, we have to be honest about who we are, too. Because if we can't be honest with who we are, then, you know, I told my wife the other day, there are certain things about me that are intrinsic because that's a part of who I have to be and a part of who I am because of the purpose and the walk that I must walk. So if I go about changing that, then I change my ability to be able to walk in my purpose in the way that I'm supposed to walk in it. Now, those kinds of things are different because those are things that you know that if you don't do those kinds of for me, I speak on things that I see. Now, that's not always the best thing in the world to do because people don't like truth. See, we walk around with blinders on all the time and we don't want to know the truth and we don't want to see the truth. And I speak on it just as I see it. I don't try to paint it up, clean it up, dress it up, do any of those things. I give it to you just the way that it's out there. So I might see people doing things and I might pull them on the side. You know, that's not cool, but that's what you're going to do and that's how you're going to do it. Let me tell you what's going to be the end result of that. And I'm not telling you this is the end result of it because I'm saying that's how it's going to happen for you. I'm telling you this is the end result of it because that's how it happens for everybody. What you're doing not new. There is nothing under the sun that we do that's new.
Nothing. That's true.
So if there's nothing under the sun that we do that we do is new, then that means there is nothing new that happens in the game. It's all old. It's just recycled. There's nothing in the game that changes. The only thing that changes is our ability to want to deal with it and our ability to want to see it. The less I see, the less I have to deal with, but the more I'm going to hurt. And at some point, if you're not going to speak on it or acknowledge the flags and get yourself out of it, you can't hold the person totally responsible for what's happening. You're playing a role.
Especially when you see it. That's right.
Yeah, you're playing a role in your own hurt now.
Uh-huh.
And self-preservation is important. Because you got to live to love another day and to love another person, because that one ain't right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got to live another day to love another person, then you have to be dealing within self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I am willing to share myself with you completely, openly, and honestly until you show me that I cannot share myself with you any longer, because I don't want to stop being complete. I don't want to stop being open, and I don't want to stop being honest. So therefore, that means I got to stop being with you.
That's right. I actually, we probably should have had that person to call in tonight, but I know they had to work. But I just put that out there because there's a little something they're dealing with. And I'm like, you know, and I basically said the same thing, you know, because either somebody's going to trust you or they're not, you know. But especially if you had not done anything and you know that that person has other issues, trust issues from previous relationships, then that's pretty much, you know, that's the issue right there. And especially if they told you that they have trust issues, why are you sweating it? You already know. You're going to either deal with it or you're just going to have to let that pass. So,
right.
You know.
Because they told you. They told you, and when I get to the point to tell you I have trust issues, I'm also saying to you, I'm not working on them.
Especially when you said it like that. I got trust issues. And yeah, because you're like, you're comfortable. You're comfortable with your trust issue. And so whatever it is that come out or happened, well, I told you I had trust issues. You know what I'm saying? So they use that
there
as a, you know, a fallback. But, you know, and that's what I was trying to tell them. You know, you're going to either have to get out of it or just deal with it, put up with it. Which one you want to do? Because nothing's that good. That's misery. Now, that's one thing I know I could never deal with. I couldn't.
But
so,
we think love is about sacrifice. Love is about compromise, not sacrifice. And even in all of the stories that we could see, of all of these stories of the greatest romances that have ever been in existence, if you really process what's happening, they didn't sacrifice. They made a compromise and a conscious choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because sacrifice is never the person giving. It's always it's always what's being given over. That's what the sacrifice is. It is what's being given over. For those people who are biblical, they didn't sacrifice themselves. They sacrificed the lamb, or they sacrificed some animal. The sacrifice was something that was given over, not themselves. So you're not making a sacrifice. You're making a compromise within that love and for love. Why? Because love is about more than just you.
Mhm. But you know, certain things I know. As for me, I couldn't compromise. Some things you have to know. I know me well enough to know. Some things are just not you can't compromise. You know, and it's okay. You know, I have standards, and other people have standards, and some things you just, you know, as it relates to yourself, your well-being, just your integrity, your character. You know, some things you just don't compromise that, you know, for certain things. Or, you know, I don't know. But like you said, it's all about what you notice, pay attention to, whatever. When you see it, you see them red flags or whatever, you got to do something about it, or else you partake in your own misery, basically.
Yeah, you're breaking your own heart, and the pain that you're experiencing and that you're expressing and that's going on in your life, you're the catalyst behind it at that point.
Exactly.
Because
that's
you
what
had an opportunity to get yourself out of it and then to stop it.
Right. That's what I told them, but Mike, I have no more to say about it. They keep on, man. Hey. You know, I don't like
to
see people.
You just have to hold your arms, let them know that your arms are open when they need you. That's all.
And that's all it's been. And that's what it's been. Basically, I just don't like to see people sabotage, you know, especially when you see why run into a brick wall.
Yeah.
You know,
what?
It's like you're running head-on collision, and you thinking this person is going to stop at any given moment and understand what you're saying, and you've given them time and time and time, chance after chance, and they still, in fact, they get worse, and you still, so okay, so I'll just be there to pick, help you pick up the pieces when it cave in, because it's definitely headed in that direction.
Yeah. We're getting down to the last 4 minutes, guys. Is there any questions out there? Anything else? Any suggestions on any topics that you want to hear in the future? Guys, it's so quiet. I tell you, are you awake
it's
out
so
there?
Quiet.
Can I get a hello? Hey, I'm still here.
Is anybody online?
They're out there. I'm looking at them.
You're doing an outstanding job. No words necessary.
Oh, goodness. Well, thank you. We try to bring you the things that you need and the things that you want to hear so that, you know, like I said, we're trying to allow iron to sharpen iron. And if everybody's coming in and we're having like a round table, then, you know, everybody learns. I learn something every time I do one of these. I pick up something new from somebody who throws some stuff out there. So it's always good to be open and have this out here. Again, we're always open to suggestions on topics. We want to talk about what it is that you want to talk about and what you want to hear. And we want you to be involved and take part in the whole thing. That's why we do it. We're getting down into the last 2 minutes of this whole thing. And does anyone have anything they want to say? Anybody want to do a wrap-up for us tonight other than Janet and I?
Don't everybody
okay,
run
so,
at one time.
Well, so Janet and I will wrap it up. Again, on Facebook, I am Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. If you're not on the page already, stop by and see if it's something that you're interested in having. And Janet, give us your group.
L45 Plus with Class, Sophistication, and Charm.
And so I'll do a wrap up and say, be careful of people who are giving you just enough honesty to keep you hopeful that things will expand. If they're not going to be transparent with you on the important things, then you may want to reevaluate whether or not that's something you want to do, Janet.
You wrapped it up. That sums it up for me.
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you again, everyone, for dialing in. Hope you have a wonderful week. Be careful out there on the weekend. Be safe, and let's go out listening to the main ingredients.
The main ingredients.